This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Yes.
Yeah, man.
We're back. Episode 198. TVI. Formerly Two Vegan Idiots.
Big up all crew.
Big up yourself, Lucas, on the ones and twos.
Wagwan,
Lucas. And we're joined by guest, Matt Price, comedian.
Criminal
storyteller, podcaster.
Broadmoor. You did a gig at Broadmoor.
I did a gig at Broadmoor, yes.
Were you actually just in there and they pretended? yeah, you're doing a gig. Sit down.
I've come on your podcast to confess that I've murdered loads of people and I'm the wrong. I've escaped.
I mean, so episode 200, Julian's going to do that. That's going to be it's finally coming out as a serial killer.
It's my king.
We'll talk about all this. You've done some mad gigs like that. And you've also got a podcast where you talk to criminals. We did a podcast. Have you wound it down now? Is it still ongoing?
I've had to wind it down. This doesn't sound because you got some threats. Hilarious, because somebody said in a pub, there's only about eight people there, some of the South East London mandem, which if you listen to my accent, it's not some of the naturally.
That's my boys.
Out.
Yeah,
man, I get you. But and someone basically threatened to kill me.
Oh, so really?
I thought it's time to do something.
Yeah. We get that, but that's more mainly for the quality of our jokes. If you don't stop doing them jokes, I'm going to kill you.
Because you interviewed my friend from when I was a kid, Tony Sales.
Tony Sales. Oh, yeah.
Biggest fraudster in the UK.
I tried
selling me some trick nuts when I was eight. and he tried getting me smoking as well, saying it was good for me.
Tony's tried to get everyone smoking.
So how many episodes did you do?
I did about 50-odd, okay. Which is all right. It's not as impressive as 198, is it? Congratulations.
Yeah, but you actually had a topic and you were talking to interesting people. We get guests in and just Julian talks over them. It's a much easier thing to do that 198 times.
You could have accompanied me on the podcast to talk over some of the people I've met.
He would have got shanked, man.
I do wonder. Absolutely. Shanked meaning stabbed, of course, if anyone didn't realise that.
Yeah.
I had to look up all the list of stuff. Because if you're from Cornwall, it's very different to South East London.
That's true.
Yeah. It was quite tricky.
Why did you choose South East London?
It's just easier.
Yeah, logistics.
Really, as much as anything. Although having said that, I did go to Russia to do some gigs, and because I tend to say no to nothing, I said, do you know anyone involved in crime? And this guy said, do you want to come and meet me at a train station? And I'll introduce you to someone who might be able to help you. So I went, me try and sound, I'm not trying to sound windswept and interesting, but I did, I went.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you where we went. It was an old building. And I met a woman who was very nice, who
had a little massage. Sorry.
Of course.
Your interruptions are brilliant, though. Sorry. They are. No, you're legendary. I appreciate it.
It's very passive aggressive.
Legendary in all communal WhatsApp groups talking about you.
Mate, yeah. I'm going to.
Ha ha, mate. Anyway.
I'm going to eat a grape in a minute, mate. Just leave me to it, honestly. That's passive aggressive. If I just spend the rest of the interview now just eating grapes and just staring at you, that's bad. I've learned a thing or two by speaking to criminals.
So, what did the Russian say?
She basically said crime's not worth it, you know, ultimately. Oh, wow. But she wasn't Russian.
Did she think you were trying to get into crime?
Can I intern for a couple of weeks?
Do you know the weird thing? You know, like in comedy, you're meant to network.
Yeah,
I've always been terrible at networking. Oh, I've met so many people on and off record.
Yeah.
I'm great at networking with dodgy people. I have this fantasy.
It feels easier, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, of course. And because I'm a good listener.
You ain't got to pretend to be nice and high, the walking handshake. You're just like,
mate, yeah. I interviewed someone who bit someone's face off. Trust me, I pretended to be nice.
Yeah.
You have to be.
Who was that?
Just a guy. I can't.
Yeah, sorry.
There's going to be a lot of. Questions going to be, there was a guy, and because I can't really give names.
What name? I mean, on your podcast, is it still available online? Did you have to delete it all off?
Well, I had to delete some of the episodes because occasionally I get a phone call saying, you can't say that if you put that on, you know, and I go, sorry about that. Okay, I'll remove it. There's not too many people who've listened to it.
Ooh. It's always because I remember weirdly, I had this conversation last week with Chris Martin. So me and Chris obviously used to do a podcast together. Yeah. A couple of years ago, Chris was adamant we deleted all the old episodes off the internet. And I was like, what are you talking about? He goes, yeah, well, because, you know, the things we've said over the years and things change, you know, at some point, someone might trawl through it, find something we've said, and we're fucked. And I was just like, mate, no, we're nice guys. We ain't saying nothing like that. And then he deleted it. Oh, I sort of decided to go. Like, if he was adamant we should, and I didn't really care, go with him, innit? Because he's got a stronger opinion. So we deleted it all off the internet. And then last week we were discussing something, and we remembered there was an episode where somebody said something that was definitely problematic and has since, you know, there's been a controversy around that person since, and like we were like, oh yeah, we could have got caught up in all that.
Oh really?
Had Who we not deleted it? I'm not going to say, because obviously there might still be some way.
Patreon.com.
Yeah, I'll tell you, on Patreon
we are TV.
We'll discuss it. It's in the group, patrons WhatsApp group. Get in there and you'll find out what I'm talking about. But yes, yeah, so that is that thing of, yeah, sometimes there's something to be said for deleting all record of everything you've ever said.
Yeah,
I mean, the day we wind this podcast down, however many years in the future that is, I'm deleting every episode, mate.
Delete myself. My birth certificate.
I'm going to be gone, man, like Goodwill Hunting. You'll just come into the studio and I won't be here. And every episode we've gone offline.
I'm going to submarine. A submersive.
What is the difference? I mean, I got
a submersive.
I got well caught up in that. Did you get caught up in it?
No, I did. I don't really watch the news, and it's not for any sort of windswept or interesting reason. I'm not like a conspiracy.
Don't have a telly
or anything. I just haven't. No, we haven't got a telly.
Telly actually.
Yeah, really?
No, our telly just popped.
I've got a laptop that my eyes are glued to all day.
That reminds me of Sean Walsh's very funny bit about when people say I don't have a telly.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, well, if you're in your living room, like, what direction do you sit? Where do you stare? Or just turn, you guys, what, you can just turn your sofa against a wall and just sit like that?
Yeah, yeah.
The submarine thing I found so fascinating. Because it was like this, you know, countdown, wasn't it?
When I first heard it, I thought it was like a holiday pit. And then I'm like, afterwards, I'm like, who's holidaying on a submarine?
So but it's also...
Obviously, I'm a moron.
That's the weird thing. Like, there's already, like, people getting conspiratorial about it, going as if five billionaires are going to go down in a submarine. Very safe. And it's like...
He's been
Mount
into
Everest.
Space, that guy. Well,
yeah.
Been up, like,
but Mount Everest is littered with dead millionaires, isn't it? You know what I mean? Oh, you cannot go and climb Everest if you're a poor
person.
Someone
on Universal Credit ain't going
to,
are
exactly.
They?
So, you know what I mean? Rich people, there's a point of wealth and certain people that get to that level where they basically get bored of life and they have to start pushing what they do with themselves. You know, there's a reason Mark Zuckerberg does jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
It's because he needs a thrill, because he's a billionaire.
He's going to fight Elon soon.
I don't think that will happen.
He'd do Elon if he's done.
I think he's been doing jiu-jitsu for years.
Yeah,
he literally put him in a coma, which would be well funny. Wow. That was like, imagine they did it and he got, like, you know, properly, he was a dust up.
Are either of you trained in anything like that?
No, I did a very short period of boxing in my teens. And then I did about 18 months of Aikido in my late teens. So, I mean, very little, but I'm talking, like, you know, I never got to any level of, You know, I mean, I still fuck someone up.
You did karate.
And kickboxing as a teen.
Okay, yeah.
I'll do a bit of boxing, but just fitness, really. And
I boxed at super.
Oh, you did box, didn't you?
I was terrible at it.
Really? What age did you do boxing?
I did it when I was
being humble. I bet you were good.
No, genuinely not.
I bet you'd mash up some people.
This is not shtick. I was like 23. And
super heavyweight.
When I was 20, I was super heavyweight.
How many pounds is that?
I was 17 stone 4 pounds.
What's that in pounds?
Pure Cornish beef.
I don't know, pounds.
250 or something.
It was pretty heavy.
Yeah,
we're going to do the. Let's do this. 17 pounds.
Oh, you're actually looking that up. That's great.
Because the UFC do it in pounds, so it's good to have a.
Yeah, it was
238 pounds.
I was amateur. I was an amateur.
Yeah.
How many fights did you have?
I had 4 fights. I won 2 and I lost 2, and I realised quite quickly this is not for me, but I boxed.
What was the manner of win and loss?
I went out on my shield like a proper warrior.
Knockout? Knocked out twice.
I'll tell you what happened. I boxed against the hardest man in Merthyr Tydfil.
Yeah.
Right. Don't underestimate.
There's only 3 men there.
There is only 3 men there, but I took 1/3.
Of the town.
Decimated that gene pool.
And the problem is, I didn't like punching people, which is a massive drawback.
Yeah. It's not a nice feeling.
It's horrible, isn't
it? I remember doing charity boxing with the comedian.
I did not enjoy
the times I punched Bobby Mayer in the face. Not a single one of them punches was satisfying.
Bobby, though, yeah.
Like, it was satisfying to win. But that was afterward. I didn't enjoy any single punch that landed on his face. I felt guilty with every like punch.
It's a weird feeling, isn't it? It's quite surreal as well. And then you have a moment where somebody punches you and you think, okay, this is it.
Now
I'm really angry.
Ouch. Getting punched really hurts.
No one ever says that. A boxer in the ring gets punched and goes, ouch!
No, I used to say,
ow!
What are you doing?
I used to say sorry, which is even worse, because if you say
sorry,
in sparring, if you punch someone in the face, you hit them.
You're too nice for that.
And then they're like, what are you saying, sorry? And then they start hitting you even harder.
It'd be really annoying. You're getting beaten up by someone who's apologising to you.
Because I was always a bit, slightly bigger than everybody else. So I'd spar with someone who was really good.
Yes.
You know, and they would go, look, you're a really nice guy. You have to hit me, okay? Can you just hit me? And then they would get more and more
angry.
What
made you get into it?
My grandfather, Raging Bill Price,
was a dancer? No.
He was a dancer.
He used to do the ballet.
It's like the Cornish Billy Elliot in reverse. Do you know what I mean?
He was a professional boxer?
No, he was. He brought me up and I found some trophies in the attic when he died, and at age 21, rather than sort of grieve normally as you're meant to, I thought, I'm going to train as a super heavyweight fighter. Honour his memory by winning a trophy.
That's a great experience, though, isn't it, doing that?
It was a great experience. I'll be honest with you, the first fight was in a Masonic hall.
Right. So to sacrifice a pig before the fight.
To beat a virgin up.
I was
to fuck a kid on in the ring.
I was wearing all white.
Sorry. No. Sorry, everybody. That'll upset that person who said they're not listening anymore because we've done too many pedo jokes.
Oh, yeah.
Apologies. If you are listening and you're stuck with us. We got how long? About 15 minutes in.
I think that's great. Well done.
That one had purpose to it. I think
they got upset with the sort
of got a profound
the scattergun
reason.
Approach to that topic.
So you must have overcome a lot of fear to do that. So that's good.
Do you know what it is? It was a naivety. I didn't realize exactly what I was getting myself into. And they said, normally you would fight after about 3 or 4 months. It's taken 18 months because we have to find someone who has the same level of sporting ability as you.
Right.
And initially the fight was cancelled because the guy had to go to prison. And I fronted it out. I was like, I would have beaten him.
Mashed
him. Of course, man.
And then, of course, he comes back. And then, we had a fight. And basically, do you know what it was? It was the laughter that brought out the animal in me.
Right.
My trainer said to me after, I lost the first one. Yeah. He goes, well done. He goes, in the years I've been doing this, I have never seen a crowd laugh that much. You were absolutely fantastic.
That is rude.
I know. I was like, okay, thank you very much. He said, the two of you, you've been invited to box on a dinner show. now.
Oh, man.
The comedy night. you're headlining the Glee on Friday.
They were roaring. I was getting applause breaks and everything.
What,
you know?
Why? What was it? Just such nice, a clumsy
they,
fight.
They probably liked you, eh?
Okay, so basically, he's hitting me, and I'm thinking, I didn't plan on this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, this is difficult now. Yeah, and so I pushed him off, and I closed my eyes. Here's the thing.
Get a little day nap here.
Here's the thing. Like, people used to say to me, look, I remember a 15-year-old guy who went on to win a title, actually. He said to me, can you not close your eyes when we're sparring? And I remember saying,
doesn't make it hurt less.
I said to him, look, I said, I'll close my eyes if you stop punching me in the face. It's an unnatural activity. Like, what, you know, so the Tidville guy, who was a tough-looking dude, he's leaning on me, and I push him off, and I close my eyes. He bounces off the ropes. I've got footage of it as well. Push him off again. Eyes still closed. I swung my left hand, and his chin very conveniently landed on my fist. So he falls forward, and he's on all fours. I thought I'd knock him out.
You're still the same eyes.
I'm just like, milking the applause. The Rocky chin.
That's hard as nails to knock someone down with your eyes shut.
Well, exactly. Yeah. That's what I mean. Spread it on the word of Southeast London, because my podcast coming back, baby. Yeah. No, it's never.
Is it coming back?
No, God, no. Because I could die.
Just move to a different area. Start doing the Southwest London. The Richardsons and their ilk.
Yeah, the North Star. There's a North Star.
My friend wrote off the Richardsons' daughter's car once when we were younger. He borrowed it, and he wrote it off. And he come round, like, he had to get a loan out and buy a new one.
Yeah,
because the guy, her dad, rung him up and just was like, "Calm, just you're gonna get a new car."
Calm. It's weird, that, isn't it? It's weird.
Yeah. This was like 20 years ago. But they're not far from me, all that, like, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, good. Good. Say hello, Wendy. I'm not going to write off anybody's car. But do you know, so I thought I'd won the fight.
Yeah.
And the reason they were laughing is I'd seen Nigel Benn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and obviously an icon.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I turned
yeah.
away to throw my hat, just sheer relief.
Yeah. Nigel Benn, where?
Well, no, years ago, whenever he won a fight, he'd be like, "Whoa."
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
yeah,
so I threw my arms up in the air, and I'm, you know, I've just beaten up the hardest man in Merthyr Tydfil. Come on, allow me my moment. And I've turned my back on him, and I'm just like, "Ah!"
This
is amazing. I'm thinking, oh, thank God for that. You know, it's over.
Yeah, yeah.
I can have a pizza. I never have to do this again. I've won a trophy for Raging Bill. This is amazing. And the referee comes over, dodgy Welsh accent alert, taps me on the shoulder and goes, "Excuse me, sorry to disturb you." And he starts giggling and he goes, "Do you want to stop celebrating?"
Oh,
and I turned around and my opponent was back up. And the hardest man in Merthyr Tydfil beat the fuck. They'd laughed so much.
Yeah, I mean, that is...
They'd laughed so much.
But then, so that was your first fight?
That was my first fight.
And then did you lose your second?
No.
Did you win your second?
No, I was told, one of the trainers said to me, he said, "Well, you know what it's all about now, don't you?" He said, "You're doing it again 6 weeks from now." And so I went, I boxed the same guy.
Oh, yeah.
And I tromboned him. Now
that's a bit rude. He liked that.
On his rusty trombone.
Tell me more about this boxing.
I walked straight into that one, didn't I? Both of your eyes lit up at the same time. Then I was like, "Where's this one?"
I'll tell you what. Yeah. I did.
What's a trombone? A 1-2?
I got my penis out and I hit him in the face.
Just wanked him off by licking his bum off.
Not with a boxing.
Everyone knows what it is. Come on.
Not with a boxing glove. It's tricky. I haven't tried, but it's quite difficult.
Oh,
I imagine,
God, sorry.
Allegedly. No, 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 no.
I cannot hear that word without just...
Trombone.
Trombone's a funny word.
Weird instrument.
So what is a trombone? Sorry, so it is... talk us through the actual terminology that predates the one I'm going for.
No, I actually prefer your version of it. I think
I do as well, mate.
Because boxing is suffering, and I'm professional boxing. You know, there's YouTuber boxing and all that. It would be so much better, perhaps, if people
tossing each other off.
Yes.
I strongly hard agree.
That's the phrase I was looking for. That's exactly what we want. We want people sucking each other off in a boxing ring. But like tromboning, basically you stick your jab out like that and so just keeping the person on the end of the jab.
Yeah.
And I kept my eyes open because I was too scared to close them, and I just kept sort of
and you've got the jab, that's what you should
and
do.
I won, and it was boring. One on points. It was the dullest fight
ever.
It was three rounds, three 2-minute rounds. I won. I remember getting quite sort of angry at the crowd, like, why are you not cheering?
Yeah.
You know, this is huge to me. This is a massive deal to
me. Yeah, because it's that thing with a lot of, boxing fans don't really want to watch boxing. They want to watch somebody get knocked out. That's sort of the reality of boxing, especially nowadays, even more so. You know, they don't want to watch Tyson Fury just slightly boss someone around the ring.
And with the sweet science.
Yeah. They want somebody. That's why Anthony Joshua was so big and popular
and
so
Tyson
quick.
And Tyson as well.
Because, Anthony Joshua looks like somebody from Creed, the film. Yes. You know what I mean? He wasn't as good as he was elevated to because people wanted it to be like that. Yeah. Actually, when you get somebody who's amazingly talented, I mean, not that Anthony Joshua is very talented, you don't get to that level.
Oh, he's very talented.
But someone like Tyson Fury is such a level up when it comes to boxing ability.
Yeah,
Alexander Usyk is such a different level. Like, you know, but boxing fans, people that love boxing and understand it like it, but 80% of boxing fans don't. They want to watch someone like Anthony Joshua thumping someone in the head.
And it kicks off at fights as well. I've occasionally gone to watch a big fight like the O2 and there always seems to be a fight in the crowd.
I know, yeah.
Which is really weird.
I've seen the UFC a few times there and there's always like in the queue for beers and stuff.
Well, there's a lot of testosterone in the air, so I've got a bit of ice in my
and alcohol and stuff.
Yeah, it's an interesting mix.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
I did a few karate tournaments as a kid. That was good. But they used to put me in like the groups like a year younger than me because I was small. And that was quite a big age gap when you're that age, a year younger in school.
Did you win?
Yeah. I did lose as well, but I won most of them, yeah. I lost against a guy who did a spinning... We never used to learn spinning kicks. We did like Shotokan karate, but we never learned, you know, like a spinning.
Yeah.
And he just did like a spinning kick on me, man, straight into my torso. I just fell into the crowd. Such a hero.
I did judo, right?
Yeah.
Judo's quality, though.
It is. I got a green belt. So that's like halfway through.
Yeah.
Imagine learning to drive and giving up halfway through. You know, so you don't really know an awful lot, but I was in a tournament and the guy who was just so much better than me just threw me over his shoulder
and landed
flat on my back.
Yeah.
I was just out.
In terms of like real life transferable skills though, judo's probably like, obviously if you get into a punch up, you want to do boxing, MMA, that sort of stuff, innit, right? Yeah. If somebody came at you just to grab you, fucking like that, judo's a good one just to fuck them off over your shoulder.
Because they arm bar in judo, don't they, as well?
Yes, there are.
So it's a bit jujitsu-y.
Yeah. So it's a good one in terms of actual, you could use it in real life.
Yeah.
It's not karate where you suddenly have to get them to stand 4 foot back.
In karate as well, it's like just near their when you hit someone, they stop it. You don't have like rallies on boxing.
I don't think they call it rally. Well, they might. No, it is.
It's like taekwondo, isn't it? Taekwondo's another one when you get hit. Well, that is they sort of reset.
Yeah. It's like an ippon 1 point or 2 points.
Yeah.
I tell you, the best form of self defense, in my opinion, is having a really punchy mate who's smaller than you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly. But then the problem is sometimes that mate is the person who gets the fights. Ongoing.
Starts the fights.
A leery little mate is a liability on a night out.
Well, I had a mate back home, he was like 5'3", nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
but he would just walk up to the biggest person on the street and go, fancy it then or what?
I think that guy's going to get you into trouble, though, isn't
he? I said to him, but you can't
fight. I don't
want
a night out with him.
And sometimes they would just shake his hand and he would go, all right, maybe, you know, you're going to have to pay me. And they would just be going, mate, what's the matter with you?
Then
they'd walk off and he would go, yeah, see, took him out. Right, who's next?
There used to be, I don't know if he's still there, I've not been for ages, but have you ever played the Dublin Laughter Lounge?
No, I haven't.
It's a great club.
No, I've never been to.
And they had, their bouncers were really fun, but they had a little old bouncer. He was like, I'd say he was probably, when I first probably met him, he would have been late 50s, knocking on 60, little, 5'5", shaven, like, grey hair, and just he looked classic. So unthreatening, but you just he carried himself with the confidence of somebody who would mash you up, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, he's that sort of bouncer you look at, you think, what have you done?
How have you
got to this point, man?
He's got a few bodies.
Yeah. So, but yeah, he's a sort of a leery little friend. So you boxed. So what was your? So you lost, won, third fight.
Third fight was a university fight. I lost that, and then I boxed against, and it was uneventful as well. It was very uneventful.
Right.
So after sort of closed eye gate, I realised that I need to just, you know, and I didn't really want to do it, but it's that thing, nobody wants to give up. That's all, but when you're young, you feel like, you know, I'm the only person who's ever felt this way. It's like, you don't have to fight me.
Yeah, if you're not enjoying
it's
it.
It's not your skill set.
Yeah.
Right, and, you know, granddad's not going to, well, he's, you know, he's gone, so he's not going to be.
He's probably ashamed of you, looking at that. Please stop. He's trying to give you all the signs. Don't. They're all laughing in heaven at me.
And switching at night and shit. Yeah. Stuff falling off mantelpieces.
Yeah. He's ashamed of you. That's actually made my day.
So, but the big, I suppose the big point here is you went out on a win. Finished on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just walk away.
And to be fair, the job of a trainer, trainers are extraordinary people, especially amateur boxing trainers, because they are a mixture of sort of father figures and psychologists and social workers. And one of them said to me, look, you're just too nice a guy.
Yeah.
Okay, so one day,
gotta be a killer.
You're going to get your face smashed in. And the guy won't care.
Because there's
nothing personal. You're just going to get really badly hurt. He said, so just do something else.
You have got to be a bit of a nutter. I was driving to a gig on Sunday and I had Talk Sport on and I was listening to a big interview with Tony Bellew.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, you know, he is a bit of a nutter and you can hear that he's a bit aggy and a bit, you know, he's got that edge to him that he had to do this because he wanted to beat people up, basically.
Yeah, there's always that air of menacism. Carl Froch, who I think was great in a former.
Great fighter.
Fantastic fighter.
Yeah.
But he's still got that, you know, I think he's 45.
You can't
now.
Have compassion for your opponent when you're in the ring, can you?
Like, well,
you've
got to. Not
he's
really.
Got to be, like, you've got to want to fucking knock them out.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think
Completely finish them.
Yeah, not have an out-of-body experience like I did and think, I'm not quite sure what's going on here.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
a different
kill
level.
Or be killed.
We all have different skills.
It's my motto.
Yeah.
Kill or be killed.
That's one thing I do think Anthony Joshua has always lacked is that killer instinct.
Yeah. Where Tyson, man, when he was in there, he was like, fucking terrifying.
Yeah, fighters, you can see the moment they smell blood, they just go.
Yeah. Where some a bit hesitant, you know.
I've always thought Joshua's got that little hesitancy.
Top level hesitant. Ones, yeah.
I was very hesitant. I didn't like
to just give him a kiss.
I was just a straight killer when I was a 10.
Yeah, I can imagine.
In my karate tournament.
You must have lying in the crowd having been kicked into it.
Did you ever break anything, like with your wood or stuff and stuff like that?
No,
that's not a ridiculous question.
Yeah. It is, yeah.
No, it's not.
Do they do that?
I was going to ask if you could, like...
I could probably break it.
Do you reckon
I'd
you could
a
break
saw
that
with me?
You could not break it. Yeah.
Could we find a piece of wood that you could break?
There's a big guy over there.
There's no chopping or anything. Like, it's not like that, is it? Karate.
What's
that even a real thing?
I think it's karate chops.
Yeah.
Karate chop.
Right, definitely.
It's got to be a real move.
I don't know. I think that's
Lucas, bring it up. Yeah, is a karate chop a real karate
bullshit,
move?
That's all bullshit, I think. That's all bullshit.
I don't think it is.
When they break bricks and that's all bullshit.
Is the karate chop
I don't buy it.
A real karate
I believe it.
I think karate chop. It must be a style of karate.
I also controversially don't buy Bruce Lee was a good fighter.
Oh,
that's controversial. Because even top boxers love Bruce Lee.
No, but they don't. I think they love his. You know, he's got
a great mentality.
He created,
he's definitely an athletic guy.
He created a sort of mythology around himself.
Yeah,
that has definitely was bigger than he was as an actual.
Because there's all like
fighter. Brainy
footage of him fighting, but he's got a head guard. It ain't even him. You know what I mean?
It is a real move.
Have you seen the karate chop? Is a real move.
But it's not used on bricks and wood. It's like used to cause pain when applied to pressure points.
Okay.
I don't buy it.
You don't buy the crunch.
Have you seen the 1-inch punch? You know, like where Bruce...
Yeah.
And that is a real thing.
And he goes like that.
There's something
in that, but the 1-inch punch is not as good as the 2-foot punch.
If you have a run-up, you're going to cause more damage.
You should try that further away, mate. You should try 2 inches.
Have you thought of transferring your weight coming from...
It's just physics, mate. Try 3 inches. It'd be harder.
Is that your trademark then, the 2 foot punch?
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
But because what is, are any of those sort of big martial arts film stars actually good at martial arts? Is that a thing? Like, can Jet Li good at martial arts?
He's more of an acrobat, I reckon.
Jackie Chan, did he do martial arts?
Steven Seagal's the biggest bullshitter on the planet. Because obviously,
Jean-Claude Van Damme was a dancer, wasn't he? But then did train in martial arts.
A lot of them. I think Chuck Norris trained.
I think Chuck Norris was a decent. He was decent.
Can you remember Bloodsport?
Yes.
Oh, mate, that film, man, when that came out.
What was the other actor? Bolo Young was the big bad guy in it.
Dennis Alexio was the brother of the brother character in it.
He played the kickboxer who got killed.
Yeah, yeah. And he was like heavyweight kickboxing champion.
Because that was based on a true story, apparently, wasn't it? What's the guy's name? Yeah. Something Duke.
Something Duke.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I don't think, yeah. Sorry, so what's this saying?
Bruce Lee is apparently, he was martial arts.
He did martial arts, yeah. I know, we know, yeah, but we don't think he was as good.
I just don't think he would, like, last in the UFC.
Can Jackie Chan, is Jackie Chan martial arts? Oh, Jet Li, let's do Jet Li.
Jet Li was, yeah.
He's a martial artist, okay.
Retired Wushu champion.
Okay. Yeah. And what was saying? Jackie Chan, do we reckon Jackie Chan?
Yeah, I think so.
Chuck Norris is as hard as nails, isn't he? I mean,
he's a legend. I mean, I do like Bruce Lee. I'm just don't think he'd last in the UFC.
Yeah, he knows kung fu.
Jackie Chan's kung fu. Okay. What's Chuck Norris? What's Chuck Norris? I reckon Chuck Norris actually was quite a successful martial artist.
I think he was.
I think he
did all right.
I think he was a good one. Let's see. Chuck Norris. What's it saying?
Yeah, he trained on the instruction of Do Sik Mun.
Do Sik Mun.
he was stationed in South Korea. Yeah, what? I think he knew some.
Okay, all right.
I don't know if he was an expert.
No, yeah, maybe
I'll some. Fuck him up
with a 2 foot punch.
Yeah,
yeah.
Of course it
was. Anyway. A famous 2 foot punch.
That's a great thing.
So there we go. So that's your fighting history.
Yeah.
And now let's talk criminals.
Oh, yeah.
Hang on, let's quickly check on the group. There was some criminal-related chat. I don't know
for our WhatsApp group, if you want to join it, it's patreon.com/wearetvi.
You probably can't name. You could probably do the funniest story. Basically, somebody says, who was the most hapless criminal you interviewed?
You could talk about them.
Funniest story. So I suppose what you're saying is, did any of them ever tell a story where it was sort of a real comedy of errors rather than them sort of being cool and like, this is how great a criminal I was?
Absolutely, yeah.
So without naming names, if you don't want to get in trouble, what was it? Do you remember any stories that things have going wrong? So my dad once told me a story, because my dad knocked around with some South London criminal elements in the 60s. Mm. He once told me about him trying to steal a safe with Jack McVitie. that went wrong. They didn't get it. And I think he ended up spending a very short period inside the prison service. But yeah, that sort of thing of funny crimes capers.
Okay, so there was a guy, two of them were sent to go and kidnap a bloke, and they were
told, nice. Like, yeah,
not a bad start.
Yeah, it's a good start.
It's hilarious.
It's a day's work, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, there's funny and there's funny. But
yeah, if you can get it, do you know what I mean?
So we know why they were kidnapping him. Had he done something bad, or was it a sort of
ransom
message?
I think it might have been to persuade him, and I'm picking my words carefully, to not appear in court. One of them ones.
That would persuade me. I think. If I was kidnapped, I would not go to court.
No, I wouldn't go to court and before the kidnap.
There's two of them. One of them's driving.
They just had to ask me politely. Oh, you don't want me to go? Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
No worries. I'll just watch maths at home. Below deck.
All right. And they, so two of them in a car.
I'm not going to get through this, am I?
No. Sorry.
I think it's great.
Sorry, man.
Oh, I love it. I've watched the podcast.
You're going to knock me out in a minute.
No. We're 2 feet away.
If your eyes shut, I know to duck.
but I know that if I do, I'll feel really apologetic.
Oh, good.
I'll be so upset. I'll be like, oh, God.
I'll be celebrating. I'll be laughing so hard.
I'll be, granddad, I'm sorry, mate. Oh, you're laughing, are you? Yeah, brilliant. You're ashamed of me, are you, granddad?
Sorry, I interrupted.
Two of them are in a car.
And they're told, go and get the geezer. You need to knock him out, put him in the boot, put a bag over his head. So they get this guy, they knock him out, put a bag over his head, put him there. The car breaks down halfway back. And the guy who's driving says to his mate, right, just go and get a car, go and buy another car, it's 500 quid. He comes back about 2 hours later.
Bargain.
And he goes, I got a car for 400 quid, allegedly.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's it, £100 change. And he goes, but it hasn't got a boot in it. How are we meant to knock him out and put him in the boot? There's no boot. So they sort of get the guy out of the boot in the existing car.
Sit him in the, like, weekend at Bernie's.
Sit him in the back and then knock him out again. Sorry, mate. And then they drive him back and they put tape around his head.
Well, they're punching him to knock him out.
Well, I don't quite know what technique. Oh, right, they might have been using the 2-foot punch. I have no idea.
Yeah. I could have injected him or something. You know,
well, they could have done, and that might have been.
I don't think these guys were medically trained. These guys were knocking
might
on
have
the
got
end
an infection and all that. Yeah.
It's a bit too dharma-y, isn't it, to be doing that? Yeah. You know, they're just
must.
I don't know exactly how. Yeah. And I could probably phone right now and ask, but, you know.
Let's just assume that.
Let's get him on the blower. Would you ring anyone?
Would I ring someone?
We
absolutely
should ring Tony.
We could ring Tony. Do you want to ring Tony now?
Sure.
Why not?
Say what?
say, all right,
we'll get him on soon again.
Yeah.
No, he's
a good guy, man.
He's a great guy. Tony is a great guy and a very interesting man and one of the most intelligent people I've ever met.
He is smart, yeah.
Yeah, but that out of context, that means nothing. So anyway, they knock this guy out, but they've wrapped tape around his head by this point, so he's in a terrible way. And of course, it gets quite bleak because, you know, he didn't react very well to it. He's peed himself and what have you. And they get there, and the guy they're taking him to says, "Well, what happened to the car?" So he's, you know, it broke down, and he goes, "Well, I told you to knock him out and put him in a boot. That hasn't got a boot." But yeah, we've been through this.
Yeah.
They take the bag off the guy's head. Unravel it like that, and it's the wrong guy.
Oh man, that is.
And they're going,
absolute nightmare.
Really sorry about that, mate. Yeah. Really sorry about that, mate. No problem at all. And then one's going, "Oh, shall I knock it?" No, just stop knocking him.
Yeah, stop knocking him out.
And they said, "We're really sorry. I've got 100 quid cash. I can give you as a way of apology." And they said, "We're going to put the bag over your head if you don't mind, and we'll drive you back to wherever you need to go."
Why? Because I didn't want him to know the route.
Well, I don't know. I've absolutely no idea because it's not my story. It's their story. Yeah, but I'll be honest. Do you know what? What I needed to do possibly was maybe ask more questions.
Yeah.
You should get me on it to quiz them.
Do you know what? I wish, I almost wish I was doing it again.
By the end of one story, you'd be dead.
I'd have a bag over my head in a car before it gets to the patron section. So join Patreon to find out what happens to Julian. Watch Patreon to see who Julian has to suck off.
Man.
All of them.
So that was funny. So
here's some other questions.
And Broadmoor as well.
Oh, you can talk Broadmoor. Let's talk Broadmoor.
Yeah, somebody thought it was a really good idea to do stand-up comedy at Broadmoor in aid of patient rehabilitation.
Is that Mirth Control?
Oh, lovely room, old boy. No, no.
Love Mirth.
You've got to drive. I'll give you 30 quid. Well,
it was me and Ian Boldsworth.
Oh.
Ian Boldsworth, I know that name.
Ray Peacock.
Ray Peacock.
Oh, Ray Peacock, which is not his name, is it?
It's
Ian Boldsworth was his name.
Oh, is that who it is? Okay, sorry.
He changed his name.
Ray Peacock.
He changed his name from that, yes.
Yeah.
Back. That was never a deliberate thing.
Well, he claims it was not a pun. And I obviously some people dispute that, but you know, he's adamant it wasn't a pun.
Yeah, I believe him, and he's a really good guy. And we lovely
guy. I've seen him for years. How's he doing?
I don't know. He was very, very good at television warm-up. And
make
a documentary?
Well, he did what's the name of it now? I forgot the name of it. The thing he did with Barry Dodds.
Yes.
Parapod. Very funny.
Yeah, he was a good guy.
He does stuff. He's got his own Patreon. He does a lot of his own content things. But he just sort of, he just gave up stand-up and...
Did
his own thing.
He was good, man.
Yeah,
he was very good, and very kind as well.
Yeah,
he was a kind-hearted guy. So I was really glad to be going there. And a slight sort of backstory to
where is it?
When?
Yeah, where?
Where? Yeah. It was in Broadmoor.
Where is Broadmoor? I mean?
Oh, sorry. It's not that far away from Bracknell.
Right.
So
okay.
It's sort of Reading. Kind of area. And
prison for the criminally insane.
Yeah, because who would have been there? Like, was there any famous ones there? Like
Ronnie Cray wasn't there.
I think Ronnie Cray was there. Peter Sutcliffe was there, the Yorkshire Ripper.
Ledge.
Yep.
Shout out to my soldier.
My king.
Shout out to my general. He was a bad guy.
Thanks for clarifying.
He was an arsehole, some might say. What a wanker.
But so, and was Charles Bronson there at that point?
I'm just pausing. Yeah,
Charles
yeah,
Bronson.
Was there for a while.
Yeah. Were any of them there when you were there?
I'm not entirely sure, to be honest.
They weren't in the front row then.
Yeah, it wasn't like Ronnie Cray wasn't front row.
Shout out to any of my people while I was there.
So you did. So was the gig, how many people were going to be in the audience?
There were like 60 people.
Wow, that's a lot.
You're going to love this because it looked like a scout hut that we were in.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Just you and Ian?
Me and Ian.
How was the format of the show? Both just doing 20s or something?
We didn't really discuss it, to be honest.
Okay.
I didn't sort of think. There was no compare. I had to go on first. They had a raffle.
What were the prizes? What did you win in Broadmoor?
I promise you I'm not making
a phone card.
They had board games.
Okay.
And they really did have Operation and Cluedo. Which is ridiculous. And it just, and I think what really got me, it went really badly. I mean, there's no other way. And anyone,
they're not laughers, are they?
They were smilers. You know, that in comedy, don't we? Oh no, the audience went laughing, but they were smiling.
I mean, I'd take smilers off a Broadmoor audience, to be honest. Yeah.
It was just, I tell you what, the thing that really got me afterwards, we were sat down because the patients, as they call them, their patients, had to go back to their bedrooms.
Yeah.
So me and Ian are sat here, and this guy walks past, quite a sort of small guy, and he looks at me, and obviously it'd been terrible, it'd been awful. because Ian.
But you did like 20 each?
I came in, I think, 16 minutes and 23 seconds.
I don't really remember.
Around that, yeah.
Roughly.
It's not blazing onto my mind.
And it was such a surreal.
Was it a lot of crowd work or material? Or?
I apologised quite a bit.
Closed your eyes at all.
I've spent much of my life apologising, to be honest with you. Yeah, come to think of it, I do a joke, it would get nothing.
Yeah.
I remember one guy saying, can I tell a joke? And I said, no, that's not possible.
Yeah.
What was that then, mate?
Because you're shit. Because
you killed eight people. That's why you can't tell a joke,
that's
mate.
Your main punishment.
And we were told when we arrived, don't talk about sex, don't talk about violence, don't say anything that will remind them.
He's getting some pussy.
I'd have to do a mime act.
What a great line. Who's getting some pussy?
That's open with that, mate.
Some pussy?
And it was just horrible. But they were walking by, and this guy, and I can't even do it justice. He said, oh, you were very good.
Okay.
And he went, and it went right through me.
Oh, God.
And you guys have met me, so you know what I'm like, right? At the time, it hurt me so much, and I was terrified.
Yeah.
And I'd already been told.
Why did it hurt? He was being sarcastic, was he?
Well, I don't know.
Because you had a bad one.
He might well have been.
I mean, the tone of laugh wasn't that complimentary.
Because he was a serial killer or something.
No, it might have been that he truly got me and where I was coming from, which is like my style, you know.
It's even worse.
Yeah, that's even worse.
Psychopath loves what you did.
Another time, another place, maybe we would have been friends.
Yeah.
But sadly, he was in Broadmoor. No, and I just jumped out of my chair and went, Facebook me fuck face.
Well, when you were on stage, this happened?
No, it happened afterwards. Oh. They were all walking out. Oh, no, I'm going to do it on stage. No, on stage was ridiculous. But Facebook me fuck face. And then Ian's going, did you just call him fuck face? And I went, yeah, I think I did.
Wow, man.
And then the woman comes over and she goes,
pray tell why.
Why? It was all I could think of at the time, to be honest with you.
Any other words would have been all right.
I'm getting the impression your head might have been gone a bit.
You just called a serial killer a legend. So, you know, like the Yorkshire Ripper. No, not that, but to analyse it properly then, it's alliterative, fuckface. So it kind of works. It rolls off.
Yeah.
It felt appropriate at the time. I'm guessing he didn't have Facebook because he hasn't been in touch. So,
It was
completely the wrong thing to say. And the woman came over and said, I thought you swore way too much, by the way, on stage.
Oh, sorry to offend anyone.
And she said, and calling somebody fuckface is just inappropriate. And I said, well, I'm really scared. Can I leave now, please? No. So we were sat there for ages.
Oh, God.
And then I went to a gig afterwards and walked out and said, I just come from Broadmoor.
So you did a gig that night?
Yeah.
What a double up that is.
Yeah. When I was about 18, 17, and we worked as labourers for doing roofing for two roofers, but we were the labourers, and on a Rochester prison. We were doing a building next to on the grounds of Rochester Prison, and all the prisoners would kind of be in the, there'd be a greenhouse there, so they were, we could interact.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was sunny, and we had tops off and stuff. But this guy would come up to me, and they looked a bit odd. These prisoners looked like they're odd people.
It's not, and we know why.
And this guy would
know what wing they were living in.
And then this guy come up to me and he'd be chatting to me. I was only 18, looking fresh. And he's asking where I live. He's asking which area I live and stuff. And then one of the wardens come up to me afterwards and said, don't interact with them. And he said that they're all segregated.
Yeah.
Because they're all one of them's 35 years murder, child molester, horrific crimes. And we still keep in touch.
He's still sending pictures of you topless.
He's asking where I live, and I'm going, yeah, Greenwich, yeah. Well, I'm telling him.
Oh, man. Right, let's get back to seeing what other questions we got. Did you ever feel sympathy for criminals when interviewing them? I suppose you're interviewing ones, they wouldn't have been incarcerated or anything. So did you ever feel, was there any that you felt might be damaged from their past?
Absolutely, yeah. Not so much sympathy, but certainly empathy.
Empathy, yeah.
Because, I wanted to be the criminal whisperer, I wanted to be the guy really connected with these people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're just real people at heart.
But so were they ex-criminals by that time?
They were ex-criminals, but I've met plenty of sort of active ones who've offered me advice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like one guy, for example, we got off to a bad start.
Yeah.
We met in a pub in Hertfordshire, and he phoned me up and said, do you want to come and see me? He has come to my house.
Yeah.
And I went. We spoke off record, but he gave me lots of advice, and he told me about his life and where he'd been. And he was a former coke dealer, and he just said to me, look, I went to jail, not for dealing coke, but they got me for something else, handling stolen goods. He said, and I went, and I came out, and I suddenly realised, oh, I've got no coke, so now I've got no friends.
Hi, everybody. That's the end of the public episode.
Thanks for listening. Now, if you would like to hear more, you can go over to patreon.com/...
We Are TVI. You have to put it in the search bar.
Because we still haven't taken it off adult content.
Because it's triple X.
It's triple, it's dirty. Filthy.
Nice.
Get your willies out when you listen. But yeah, go over to Patreon, sign up. What's the tiers? I can't remember what they're. Three?
We've got £3, £5, £10 and £20.
I mean, the £20 is a joke one. £10 is sort of a joke as well. £3 gets you just all the back catalogue of extra episodes and
hours and hours. Hours.
I mean, there's I don't know, 100?
100 hours.
Extra sort of episodes. The £5 tier, you get all that as well. But you also, if you wish, get to join the TVI WhatsApp group. And
you can also see the full episode or listen to the full episode with a £3 tier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
£5 gets you the WhatsApp group.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Excellent. That's it. That's all you need to know. Get over to Patreon if you want more.
Thanks for listening.
Otherwise, just thanks for listening to the public episode. And we'll
please like and share.
Yeah, give it a share, mate. Tell your friends. Tell your families. Tell your kids. Bye bye.
Love you.
You're actually changing the podcast. I think you're... Rob, it used to die of AIDS in an alleyway.